For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Alec Pope, alongside President and Sister Eyring. Thanks for being here today.
It's a pleasure for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before your devotional, you'll be speaking next week. We just want to talk a little bit about what you'll be talking about and your message to the students at the beginning of this semester, after it's already been a week in, that is. We had a little bit of a change. We had a great talk from President Nelson.
It was a great change.
Yeah, it was. It was. Let's start, President Eyring, with you. One phrase as I read over the talk, your talk that you'll be giving next week, a few phrases stuck out to me. The first I'd like to talk about is you said Earth is a divinely designed laboratory, and you talked a lot about learning and mortality. Would you like to expand a little bit on that phrase and what you mean by it?
Well, I think it's important for us to realize that the pre-existence was a place of great learning and the exercise of faith to some degree. So there were at least two plans presented that we know of, one by Lucifer and the other by Jehovah. And they were quite different in terms of what they would have done in this life. We don't know exactly how the voting went. We know that ultimately our Heavenly Father made the choice between the two plans, chose the one presented by our elder brother Jehovah, and it involved faith. We didn't probably understand, couldn't even imagine, I think, what this earth would be like in all of its challenges, unexpected experiences, difficulties, and sorrows. But we had that faith in the Savior, and we wanted to go and go get to that next level of spiritual experience and strength. And so here we are in a world that can at times seem unfair and unpleasant, but that's all part of the plan. It's been paid for by our Savior. He has borne every sorrow and grief and disappointment that we have, and of course that's now, you extrapolate that over the whole population of billions upon billions who have come to this earth, and we're just very blessed to be among the few who understand that this is a learning laboratory perfectly designed to stretch us, but to strengthen us.
Sister Eyring, you talked a lot about learning. You're going to speak a lot about learning as well. Now, you said this phrase, life is supposed to be exciting and difficult. To me, that's kind of an optimistic view of the world, which I saw as a theme as well in what you're saying. How have you seen that play out in your life, and what does that mean to you?
Right. Recently, on a wall in a gym that I was in, there was a big plaque that said, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. And that's true. That's true at the gym, but it's also true just in life. If it's not challenging and a little bit exciting, because part of that excitement comes from not knowing how things are going to work out and not knowing the end. But there's some excitement in learning and doing difficult things and recognizing that, oh, actually I can do difficult things and I can succeed with the help of the Savior and with the help of the people that he's given around me. And that's what I love about BYU Idaho, is there are so many people here to help you succeed that really, if you can just get excited about the hard things, you know that there's scaffolding there that will help you and that will lift you through the challenges, and that you will come out at the end of the semester, and there might have been some really difficult challenges, but that you will feel, I hope, the success that comes when you rely on those around you and especially the Savior.
You mentioned challenges, Sister Eyring. Mm. President Eyring, you talk about this as well, the challenges in life that help us to grow. How do challenges, you talked about this in laboratory, how do they help us grow?
Well, if things come too easily, and I think we've all had that experience, a number of things can happen. One of them is that we can become proud. Another is that we could learn the wrong lesson. We might think that, I mastered all of the problems inherent in that situation, and there'd be very little learning if we often thought that. It's when we are, I think, most disappointed, most stretched, most tempted to give up, that we can know, well, now this, assuming you're keeping the commandments, you can be sure that you're in a situation that has been designed to take you to the next level. And the Spirit will help you, and the enabling power of the atonement can help you if you're worthy of the atonement of the Spirit. And so there's a, you don't want to be self-deceiving, but the reality that we can't see is that Heavenly Father has put us here to help us get to the next level of development, the next level of strength, of compassion, and of closeness to the Spirit, and increased in our devotion to and appreciation for the Savior.
Now, I had mentioned this as we started about optimism. I saw it as a theme, and both of what you're talking about. Now, in a world that is increasingly full of cynicism and pessimism and skepticism, how have you been, the two of you, been able to stay optimistic in life?
Well, Sister Irene was born that way. I'm convinced.
I believe that.
I think I might have come up a little off. I don't know. I do tend to, I don't know. So some of that might be a gift, and I am grateful for it every day. But I talk a little bit in my talk about being able to look back at situations that you've experienced. They can be small, you know, but an experience that you've had where you did overcome something, and remembering that. So we took some children with us when we served our mission in Japan, and it wasn't easy for all of them. But I'll tell you now, if you ask them to do something difficult, many times they will say, well, I did Japan, so I can do, give me something else. I can do something else. And hopefully students, if they haven't already experienced that, will experience that here. They'll overcome and be able to look back and say, I did that. I can give me something else, because, and not just that I did it, because that then becomes the pride that Henry's talking about, but I did it with the help of, and so I can do that again with the help of Heavenly Father and the Savior. And I should be clear that my children are very aware of the help they received while they were in Japan. So it wasn't that they said, I did that by myself. They know absolutely for sure the kind of help that they received while they were in Japan. And so that does give them optimism, I think, in the face of difficulty.
Yeah, absolutely. President Irene, you talked about keeping a journal and how that's helped you, and you tie that along with being an optimistic journal writer and taking an optimistic view and spiritual sight in day-to-day things. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It's been so valuable to me, and it was Sister Irene who, in a difficult spiritual time in my life, challenged me to keep a journal. And of course, when you're unhappy, the last thing you want to do is write about it. But it's been life-changing for me. And part of what I learned is that, initially I thought, well, I'll just filter this. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to write about the good things and good feelings, and I'm supposed to be grateful for what's happening, so I'll write about that. But that did have some benefit in and of itself. What I began to realize is that we interpret the world around us as though it's fact. At any given moment, any given experience, we think we put a label on it, and it's usually it's going to be, oh, this is a great experience or this is a bad one, right? I mean, we tend to be binary in that sense. And then we don't often go back and take a second look to say, well, now what really did happen? Was it all good? Was it all bad? What what was the mixture? And then maybe even the third order effect would be to say, what might Heavenly Father have been doing there through the power of the Savior and perhaps with the inspiration of the Spirit? What was he doing to stretch me in a way that would prove to be beneficial? And the journal has given me that that mindset to say, look, if I'm keeping the commandments and I stub my toe in one way or another, rather than being saddened and even angry about the pain and the disappointment, that's the moment to say, well, now, okay, I was doing my best, I was where I ought to be, I'm meeting opposition. This must mean it's an opportunity for me to learn and to grow. And so I write it that way. That's what's happened, and I'm capable of telling my story the way Heavenly Father sees it, if I'll ask Him to help me see it in that way. And then that's the way I write it. And it's a great, great blessing. You think of those Book of Mormon prophets especially, who were writing under really, really difficult circumstances. Mormon and Moroni, perhaps, most of all. But Nephi as well. His brothers were trying to kill him. And they wrote that wonderful scripture for us based upon terribly trying times, but done in such a way that the Lord's hand was made evident. And so really, if we're looking for role models in this life, it's those scripture writers who we ought to look to and emulate and realize that as valuable as it is to have the Book of Mormon, each of us can and should be creating our own version of the scriptures.
Thank you very much. And Sister Irene, you were the one who had, he mentioned that you gave him the idea. And now would you?
Oh, it was not an idea. Oh. It was a warning.
Well, would you share with us just a little bit about spiritual sight and trying to see God's hand in our lives?
Sure. For Henry, it was a difficult time. And he had asked me, would you pray for me? And I was praying for him, but I can remember clearly it was an idea that came as a voice in my head that said Henry should write a journal. And I thought, I do not want to tell him that because I don't think this is a good time to be writing down difficult experiences. But I felt strongly about that. And so I shared the idea.
I was losing some hair at the time.
Oh, yeah. The stress
among other things.
Causing some hair loss and other things. But it was clearly a message for him. And it has been a great blessing, not just for him, but because he shares that journal with me and with the children, even our children who have now grown and moved. It is a great blessing for us to be able to see the hand of the Lord in our lives every day and to record it. And it is frequent that the children will ask, can you remind me about when I told you about, or you know, when you had this, they read that journal and they know, and they can go back and look for times that they've had experiences and it's been recorded. But not that they shouldn't be recording their own. I probably should have that inspiration for all of them. But it has been a great blessing for us to see things that way.
Well, we're excited to hear from you next week. Is there anything final that you'd like to share?
Oh, just thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll be speaking next Tuesday.